We're very pleased to be joined on the line now by John Shipton, the father of Julian Assange. Thanks so much for joining us, first of all, this morning, Mr. Shipton.
Pleasure. A pleasure to be with you.
Now, for the benefit of our listeners and for those who are perhaps troglodytes and haven't been following the case of Julian Assange over the course of the past few years, a very brief summary. Mr. Assange is being charged with 17 individual charges of espionage and one charge of computer misuse after a grand jury in the US state of Virginia unsealed their indictment back in 2019. For those who recall the details, of course, Mr. Assange spent some 7 years in the Ecuadorian embassy in London, and the government in Quito eventually revoked his political asylum status in 2019. He was then more or less immediately arrested by the London Metropolitan Police and hauled off to Belmarsh Prison, where he was initially jailed for 50 weeks for breaching his bail conditions back in 2012. And very soon thereafter, this grand jury sealed indictment was unsealed, and he faced the 17 espionage charges, one charge of computer misuse. Significantly, the investigation that was going on, or so-called investigation that was going on in Sweden, was dropped. One can speculate as to whether there was a connection between that case being dropped in Sweden and the US extradition charges proceeding, where Mr. Assange had been facing rape and sexual assault charges in Sweden. Suffice to say that Mr. Assange remains in Belmarsh prison to this day and is facing an appeals hearing in the London High Court on Tuesday. Mr. Shipton himself will be there in London to support his son. So, Mr. Shipton, can I start by asking what exactly will be taking place on Tuesday and Wednesday in terms of the nature of this appeal hearing?
Sure. Just a slight correction. There were never any charges. They were only allegations.
I beg your pardon. No formal charges in Sweden, only allegations, yes.
Yeah. The allegations were never investigated. So they fell out over time and became unsupportable because they just let things go until they prepared, as you implied, they prepared the extradition charges against Julian.
Certainly.
So the events on Monday and Tuesday, that Julian has applied for a hearing to appeal against the determination of the previous judge. This will be heard before two judges of the High Court, and they will make a decision as to whether Julian can have an appeal or not have an appeal. If Julian can't have an appeal, then he is immediately dispatched, extradited to the United States after the Secretary of State of the UK has signs off on it. Sorry, the Secretary of Justice in the UK signs off on the extradition, then Julian's immediately put on an aeroplane and has to go to the United States.
Can I just ask you to expand on that, Mr. Shipton, because obviously this is an extremely critical component of what may take place immediately after the appeals court hearing. It's really an appeal about whether the appeal should proceed, because I've certainly in my research, and obviously you're in a position to know best, but in some of my research I've seen speculation that may not be the case, that he would be immediately extradited, given there could be at one last appeal to the European Court of Human Rights. So are you confirming that if the appeal court hearing on Tuesday and Wednesday is unsuccessful, your expectation is your son will be immediately extradited to the United States?
That's my expectation, because the appeal to the European Court of Human Rights doesn't have to be obeyed by the United Kingdom. And as it's a political persecution, not a legal matter, I imagine that the United States, in its fixed determination to extradite Julian, they will apply whatever political pressure to the United Kingdom to get the answer they want.
Now, of course, you must have many thoughts running through your head, and you're perhaps not even wish to face that you know, the worst case scenario. But you know, what is your level of hope and optimism in terms of your expectations for Tuesday and Wednesday? Are you hopeful and optimistic of the outcome of this hearing?
That's a very good question. After 15 years of malicious persecution of every different sort, I don't have much hope, but I do have faith that the courage and determination, will of the Australian populace and the Australian Parliament will in fact affect the outcome of the United Kingdom consideration.
Speaking of the Australian Parliament, and certainly your son has received enormous support from the Australian public over the course of many years, but I'm sure you'd agree, and supporters of Julian Assange would agree, that the major parties have, to say the least, been found wanting in expressing support for someone who was, after all, an Australian citizen, has been absolutely dragged through hell through not even the legal system, but, as you say, political persecution over more than a decade now. But on the bright side of things, independent Member of Parliament Andrew Wilkie did table a motion in the House of Representatives that was supported by the Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese. And Albanese said earlier this week, and I quote, "I hope this can be resolved," referring to the case of your son. "I hope this can be resolved. I hope it can be resolved amicably. It's not up to Australia to interfere in the legal processes of other countries, but it is appropriate for us to put our very strong view that these countries need to take into account the need for this to be concluded." Now, that strikes me as, on the one hand, a very supportive statement, but also quite a circumspect statement, because it's noticeable in that statement that he doesn't actually clarify that he wants the American espionage charges, computer misuse charge, to be dropped. He's merely saying he wants this matter to be resolved. And there is some speculation, Mr. Shipton, that if a deal, a last-minute deal, can be sought or sealed between the UK, the United States, and Australia, that deal would involve your son actually coming back to Australia and potentially facing charges and prison time here. So I suppose my question is, what hope do you have for the Australian government making some sort of last-minute intervention, and what do you think a last-minute intervention might look like?
Well, you know, the long intro and a good number of important questions within. First place, the Australian polity and people have been marvellous and terrific, and their growing strength has been reflected in the Parliament of Australia passing the motion and the Prime Minister in his statements. Critically, the Prime Minister and the Australian Parliament have taken upon themselves four really important essential matters to defend. One is emblematic in Julian, is the free press and capacity to speak to each other on the basis of knowledge. The second is the resistance to the United States application of its laws extraterritorial wherever they want. The third is reasserting Australia's sovereign independence in the Parliament, asking for the United Kingdom, the United States, to let these charges go in one way or another. Whether there's a deal, I haven't seen any evidence of a deal going, and
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Shipton, but and I appreciate that you may not wish to discuss this publicly, but it's all very well for the Prime Minister to make such a statement, as I've just read out, but yes. Can you speak to whether there have been any behind-the-scenes diplomatic interventions in terms of the Australian, you know, High Commission in London and so on? Are they in contact with your son? Are they trying to, you know...
The High Commissioner has been to the jail twice and visited Julian. As to the quality of the representations made by Prime Minister Anthony Albanese and his officers, there's no FOI record that we can find. So they haven't, those representations are yet to manifest themselves in paperwork that can be FOI. That answers your question. So,
sure.
As to whether, what, you know, for example, a Member of Parliament, Julian Hill, says it's up to Julian to take the deal. But what deal? Nobody tells me any deal that's on the table, even in its roughest outline. It's not available through FOIs, and nobody from the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, the diplomats, don't speak of it.
So that's, I think you've, speaking of diplomacy, you've very diplomatically and artfully articulated there that, and I'll say it on your behalf more bluntly, that the Australian government may be saying one thing and making nice public statements, but their actual diplomatic representations and efforts to see justice for your son are grossly, manifestly inadequate, raising what is a very sensitive subject. It makes me quite emotional, Mr. Shipton. I can't even begin to imagine how much you feel as a father. But Julian's wife, Stella, has said, quote, his life is at risk every single day he stays in prison. If he's extradited, he will die. I appreciate you may not even wish to answer that question, but, and it sort of relates to how you're feeling personally and emotionally. I mean, when you hear, you know, Julian's wife say that, how does it make you feel, and how, I mean, just how grave a situation is your son in Belmarsh prison?
Well, you know, the United Nations Rapporteur on Torture and Unusual Punishments, Professor Nils Melzer, wrote a 26-page report. He characterised the treatment of Julian Assange over the period up until when he wrote that report, October 2019, as a slow-motion murder before our eyes. Also, you know, I find it very difficult in these matters to extend trust, full trust, fully trust, any of the partners involved in the negotiations, the United Kingdom, the United States, or Australia. The Prime Minister has had it on his table for 2 years and is address the matter, but it's still inconclusive and the court cases interminably roll on. Whether Stella is, you know, that's her feeling. I don't say that sort of thing because I'm fearful that the United States, in its determination to destroy Julian, will see it as opportune to effect what Stella says. That's the reason I don't address it.
Indeed, and for the benefit of the listeners, what Mr. Shipton has just said there is by no means hyperbolic. It is on the public record. There's plenty of documentary evidence for it. It's been reported in the mainstream Western press that the American Central Intelligence Agency had actively plotted to murder Julian Assange while he was staying in the Ecuadorian embassy. Just to finish, and I appreciate your time, Mr. Shipton. You're a very busy man, and you'll be heading off to London shortly. Obviously, we're just discussing this appeal hearing, or a hearing about whether the appeal will proceed, and time is pressing. But if there is anything practical we can do, I mean, what would you suggest to our listeners and to your son's supporters as to what we can do, you know, to raise our voices in defence of your son and pursuing justice for him here in Australia?
You're the member for Fremantle, Josh Wilson, is a very strong supporter of Julian and an intelligent and humane man. I'd go along and give him a bit of encouragement. And if I could lastly say that I've done thousands of interviews, but you're one of the finest and comprehensively understanding interview that I've experienced. And thank you for that.
Thank you for the kind words, Mr. Shipton, and all the very best to you and your family.